Jeremiah chapter 5, and we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to look at another portion of Scripture. But I want to start out in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." Now I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel, please. The book of Ezekiel, and we're going to look at chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 23, please. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me." This is verse 23 of chapter 22. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lines unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Verse 30 says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. And I'd like to entitled my message this morning, Seeking for a Man. Seeking for a Man. So pray with me that God would bless His Word. Heavenly Father, we do, as Les mentioned earlier, we thank You for just the opportunity to meet in Your house, God, and Your protection and Your giving us the health and strength to be here today. Humble us today, Lord, and make us subservient to Your Word. And may the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, be lifted up. And may we look to Him for our strength and, God, our hope. And Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray for its leaders. Lord, I pray for those that's been affected by this terrible tornado. God, just please help them at this time. In wrath, remember mercy, Lord. May Your grace be there for those who know You. And Lord, may this be a time that people reflect on their souls. Lord, bless Your word today. Thank You for the word of God. Help us to reverence it. And God, to submit ourselves to it. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Both the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel had a message from God. And it was not a positive message. You know, a lot of times these fellows on the radio and the TV, they only have a positive message. But this was not a positive message. God warned the people of Israel that judgment was on the way. And God said in verse 15 that it was a filthy land. The Bible says, And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries, and will consume thy filthiness out of thee. God also said that the preachers were false. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. And we see that today in our country, don't we? We see a lot of churches that once taught the truth are now have backed away from the truth. In chapter 13, the Bible says, "They have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built upon a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar." We've built a religious playhouse in this country, and we've told people there's peace when there is no peace. God went on to compare the government to wolves. He said they were like ravening wolves in verse 27. He said, "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain." They were dishonest and they were greedy. We see that in our country also. A lot of greediness and dishonesty. And with all the immorality and crookedness and wickedness going on, the Bible says that the priests and the politicians were silent. They were silent. And you know, that shouldn't surprise us too much, especially about politicians, because politicians are what they are. God said they were too busy shedding blood and getting what they could for themselves. All of the immorality and thievery and wickedness going on around these people here in the Bible. And yet the priests lied to the people and the prophets lied to the people and told them that everything was all right. Everything was okay. They prophesied smooth things to the people. They didn't want to upset the people. They made sure that they didn't say anything to get people riled up. Like the prophets of Ahab and Jezebel, they told the people what they wanted to hear. And I'm afraid in this country today, we've got a lot of people, a lot of preachers even, a lot of religious leaders who don't call out sin anymore. They tell the people what they want to hear. They've given the wicked a false peace. It's one thing to give the wicked a false peace, but they had also given the wicked a false hope. They'd give them a false hope. I want to ask you today, do you know the peace that only comes from knowing Jesus Christ? Do you know the peace that only comes from... And they gave them a hope, but there was no hope. They were preaching a false gospel, weren't they? And by the way, we've got a lot of folks today, I believe, that are preaching a false gospel. And they've given people a false hope. I want to ask you also this morning, where's your hope? Where's your hope? People have all kinds of, when you start talking to people, you realize that they've got some unusual thoughts and they're not biblical. You start talking to people and they say, "Well, I hope to make it. I'm a good person." Well, if that's where your hope is, you're not going to make it. "Well, I hope to make it. I've been good to my neighbor." Well, I've said this 100 times from this pulpit. I love good neighbors. Give me good neighbors over bad neighbors any day. But being a good neighbor won't save you, friend, if that's where your hope is. Your hope has to be in Jesus Christ, doesn't it? You have to put your trust in Jesus Christ to be your sin bearer, your substitute. The point of the message today is to point out the fact that we are living in similar times as to what Ezekiel and Jeremiah described. We're living in, somebody said that the destiny of nation is decided by its morals. If that's true, we're in trouble. The destiny of nations is decided by its morals. But we live in a day-to-day where people won't even say what is right and what is wrong. As a matter of fact, they don't like you to say what is right and what is wrong. We live in a day where there's no absolute truth. But I'm here to tell you today as a preacher of the Word of God that this is the absolute truth. And this is not going to change. Governments may change. Society may change. Even churches may change, but the Bible does not change. This is the truth. And God's not backing up for anybody. So, look again at verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God was seeking for a man, but found none. God was seeking for a man, but found none. In all of Israel, God looked down. He didn't find a Micaiah. He didn't find a Daniel. He didn't find a David. He didn't find an Esther. He didn't find a John the Baptist. He looked down. He didn't find anybody that would stand in the gap. There was not one person there with enough God-given grit and backbone to stand up for what's right. Those men I mentioned and those ladies I mentioned confronted kings. They stood before kings. We can't even stand before the guy down at the grocery store. Without a man to stand in the gap, we as a nation are in a dangerous predicament. This is my opinion. I believe we've become unhinged as a society. We're living in a very strange time. This is not the days of Ozzie and Harriet, is it? The government and the society and now even church people have winked at sin and even condoned sin. There are people today, maybe people you work with, maybe neighbors, relatives, who think it's okay. This is the kind of day we're living in. We've got people today that think it's okay for a man to go in a lady's restroom. I suggest you don't try that with me around. I'll tell you what I think. I think people like that are perverted. I think they've lost their minds. I think they're devilish. I think they're rebels against God. Do you know what the problem is? Do you know why these things are happening? I can tell you why. Here's the problem. We lack men. And I don't just mean men as men, but we lack people to stand up for what's right. We lack people to stand in the gap and pray. No one is willing to stand in the gap. There's a high cost for a person who cries out against sin. It could cost you your job, cost you your career. It could cost you your friends. It could cost you your family. It may even cost you your church folks. As one man said, you better not try to preach repentance until you've pledged your head to heaven. Because if you start preaching repentance, you're liable to lose your head. That's the day we're living in. I want to say, number one, sin makes a gap in God's protection. Sin makes a gap in God's protection. The Bible says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. That's Psalm 144 and verse 15. In other words, God blesses or makes happy a people who are a godly people. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I'm here to tell you this morning that a government that suppresses vice and encourages virtue is a government that will exalt a nation. Unfortunately, we have a government that's doing exactly the opposite. They're suppressing virtue and exalting vice. Many of our leaders today are morally bankrupt. They're just like the princes that Ezekiel described. They're moral bankrupts. And I'm afraid many of our leaders know nothing of biblical morality. And when a people sin, with a high hand, there's going to be a breach. There's going to be a gap. Matthew Henry in his commentary said, listen to this. Sin makes a gap in the hedge of protection that is about a people at which good things run out from them and evil things pour in from them, a gap by which God enters to destroy them. So when you've got a gap, that's where good stuff goes out, bad stuff comes in, and eventually God's coming in. Somebody needs to stand in the gap. I believe as Isaiah said, if it wasn't for a very small remnant, we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sin makes a gap in God's protection. I'm here to tell you today, we've got a gap that you could drive a tractor trailer through. We've got a gap. We've sinned with a high hand as a nation. Secondly, God seeks for those to stand in the gap. God seeks for those to stand in the gap. And I sought for a man among them. Verse 30. Do you know that Abraham stood in the gap for Lot? Abraham interceded for Lot. Moses stood in the gap for the children of Israel. Esther stood in the gap for the Israelites. Somebody needs to stand in the gap, folks. If it's just us few here, we need to stand in the gap. God is ready to forgive. He is swift to show mercy. The Bible says in Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God is plenteous in mercy? He's looking for a way to be merciful. Psalm 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. You know, you and I aren't always compassionate, but God is. Reminds me what an old preacher told from the pulpit one time. He said he had somebody in his church that was causing him difficulty. You know, sometimes preachers get that fella or that lady. And he said he was praying one day for this person. He said, Lord, he said, drop the hammer on it. And he said he sat there for a second and got to thinking about it. And he said, Lord, I take that back. He said, you could drop the hammer on me. Don't drop a hammer on him. I'm glad our God is compassionate. He's more compassionate than we are sometimes, isn't he? More compassionate than we are. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, the Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. Destruction's on the way, the prophet said. Destruction's on the way. And God is the destroyer. You know, all God has to do, I think I'm right in saying this, but I think all God has to do to a nation, to a people, is just withdraw his restraining hand. And the nation will plunge into darkness. And that's what we're seeing here today in this nation. God was seeking. I believe he's seeking today, don't you? He's seeking today. Oh, that God would give us some Christian men and women that would stand in the gap. I'm here this morning to encourage you to stand in the gap. I'm here today to encourage you to pray for our nation. Pray if you've got children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or sons or daughters, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to make up the hedge, don't we? God's looking. We need some people that's not afraid to stand. Number one, sin makes a gap in God's protection. Sin makes a gap in God's protection. Number two, God seeks for those to stand in the gap. God seeks for those. And number three, it's sad when no man can be found. That's one of the saddest sentences in the Bible, isn't it? Where he says, I sought for a man, but I found none. I found none. That's dark days, isn't it? That's bad times. Let me ask you a question. Where are the men and women to stand in the gap? Where are the people that pray? Where are the people that reprove sin? You say, well, if I say something, they won't like me. Hey, better man hates you than God. You need to stand up for what's right. I can tell you this, we'd be better off to please God than please man. I guarantee you they won't like you. They'll positively hate you, but God will like you. We're to be salt and light, the Bible says, doesn't it? Salt and light. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's not even fit for the dunghill, Jesus said. Right? You know what? There's several things going on here in our life. There's several things that I could point out. Number one, we're too much like the world. We're just as gray and dingy as the world is. We watch the same things, listen to the same things, talk the same way, act the same way. We're just like the world. You can't reprove the world if you act like the world. Old Lester Roloff said you can't pull people out of the ditch. If you get in the ditch, you got to stay on the pavement. You got to stay on the pavement, don't you? The other thing is we're too busy. This world is, everybody's busy, aren't they? Busy, busy. I always, until I became pastor here and started pastoring some of you folks that's retired, I used to look forward to retirement, but you guys go on like you're as busy as I am, so I don't know if I got anything to look forward to or not. We're busy. And we're selfish. We're selfish. In order to stand in the gap, you can't be selfish. And we're too timid. The world has beaten us down, hadn't it? The devil's beaten us down. We need the boldness of God. We need the Holy Spirit to give us holy boldness, don't we? We need that. We need to pray for that. So it's sad. It's sad when there's no person to... Not only is it sad, it's dangerous. It's dangerous when there's no one to stand in the gap. So sin makes a gap, and God seeks for those to stand in that gap, and it's bad when God can't see anybody. Number four, this is interesting. One person can change everything. Have you noticed that in the Bible? God doesn't use councils and committees. He uses one person usually. One person can change everything. And he uses, you know what's fascinating is God usually uses the person that the yearbook said was less likely to succeed. There's no telling who God might use. He could use you and I. If he doesn't use us in a big way, he can use you in a small way. Just your family. Just your neighbors. Just those you work with. He can use you. One person can change everything. How many of you had, don't raise your hand, but how many of you had praying parents or grandparents? Don't you think they changed something? You can change something. The influence of one person may be enormous. You know, we've seen this throughout history. You can go back and read history. One person can plunge an entire nation into perdition. Or one person can lift a nation. Think about Abraham pleading for Lot. Do we pray for our loved ones? Do we pray for our nation? Do we pray for its leaders? Daniel stood when everyone else was against him, didn't he? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when everybody else bowed down, they stood. In other words, what I'm trying to get across to you is, if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to stand. If you want to be a influence, if you want to stand in the gap, old Vance Havner said that the reason the lions didn't eat Daniel is he had too much grit and backbone. You're going to have some grit and backbone, folks. You know, in the New Testament, Paul being upon that ship, he interceded for those people, didn't he? When that ship wrecked. The intercession of Moses brought pardon instead of destruction. Esther stood up for her people and stopped a great slaughter. If there had been no Esther, what a tragedy. Luther, to bring it more up to modern times, Luther's faith brought light to the whole continent of Europe in a dark time. Wycliffe gave us the Bible in English, and it cost those men to do that. A man or a woman of faith can revolutionize the world. Do you guys believe that? I know it's true. I know it's true. You say, well, maybe you're like me. I'm sitting here thinking, well, I'm too old to start now. I tell you, maybe we are. Some of us are maybe too old to start now. But you know something? God uses who he wants to. But here's the thing. You can pray that God would send somebody. You could pray that God would raise up somebody. If you don't think you're the person, you can pray that God would send the person. We need people to stand in the gap, don't we? We need people to pray for our country, pray for its leaders, pray for our churches, pray for our families. We need people to stand in the gap. It is a sad day when God looks down from heaven and says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, and I could not find one. My goodness, what a terrible testimony. We need men like Whitfield and Wesley who, by the grace of God, turned the world upside down. By the way, since I mentioned those two, we don't need politicians, we need preachers. If your hope's in the political system, you need to see me after the service. I got something I need to tell you. My dad, he's gone now, but he used to say if you put them in a bag and shake them up, that it's hard to tell which one come out first. There ain't much difference in them, is there? It's been said that the servants of the Lord should be as bold for their masters as the devil's servants are for theirs. Miss Rucker taught me high school, and junior high probably, but she knows I was meaner than the devil. Miss Rucker, I think the Lord uses sometimes mean guys, mean kids, because they kind of make bold preachers. I've been trying to be as zealous for God as I was for the devil. The Puritan Gurnall said, "We fear men so much because we fear God so little. We fear men so much because we..." In school, how many of you remember the bully? Huh? Did y'all have a bully in school? Maybe you was the bully. I remember in school we had a bully. I'm not going to say his name because he still lives around here. We're friends now, by the way. That's what happens when you thump a bully. But he was picking on me one day, and I just hit him as hard as I could in the stomach. And he doubled over, and that was the end of that. I say all that to say this. You got to stand up. You'll be surprised that these people thought that was ruling and running you over. If you'll stand up to them, a lot of times they'll back down. We just need some people to stand up. We need some Mordecais. If it wasn't for Mordecai, the gallows would have never been built. We need some people with some backbone, don't we? Right's still right. God hasn't changed. Right's still right and wrong's still wrong. God hasn't changed. He said, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none." You know, Christians are a preservative for a nation. We're a preservative for a nation. Let me ask you today, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? This nation might fall. Nations rise and fall, don't they? Any student of history will tell you there's been great nations that eventually they fail. We may be on the downhill slide. There may be no hope. I don't know. But I can tell you this, whether this nation, whether the United States of America rises or falls, is not as important as the fact about your soul. That's the most important thing. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I'm not here today to give you a political speech. I'm here today to tell you, if you're a Christian, I hope you are, you need to be praying. You need to be standing up in the gap. You need to be doing what's right. You need to brighten the corner where you're at, wherever that is. Somebody, it may be a grandchild, it may be a neighbor, but you've got influence with somebody. A coworker, somebody. You need to stand up for what's right. Stand in the gap. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me encourage you this morning to pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. You know, as you get older, sometimes you don't sleep so well. When you wake up in the middle of the night, that's a good time to pray, isn't it? It's a good time to pray. It'd be a good time to pray for your country. It'd be a good time to pray if you have children, to pray for your children. It'd be a good time if you have grandchildren. It'd be a good time to... By the way, I got a new one. Did y'all know that? Ella Rose. She's a sweetie. But you ought to pray for your grandchildren, even when they're this big. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. Let me encourage you to be different. Don't be just like the world. Be different. Be different. Be like, regardless of the cost, be like Daniel. Be like the three Hebrew children, regardless of the cost. Be like Esther. Stand up for what's right. Do what's right. Pray. Pray. Seek God's face. I want to ask you, God said, I sought for a man among them. And then he said, but I found none. I found none. God help us if we ever get in that shape. Amen. I'd like to think I got a church full of people here this morning that are going to help me stand in the gap. Amen. I'd like to think I got a bunch of people here that love the truth and love right and want to pray and do right and pray for our nation. Pray for our lost loved ones. Time, it seems like time's getting short, doesn't it? You know, we could be facing a calamity just like those people that were hit with that tornado that's carried off hundreds, possibly, into eternity. Are you prepared to go into eternity? Are you prepared to meet God? Do you know the Savior? Are you trusting Jesus Christ this morning? I can tell you that He's my only hope. Is He your only hope? Les, you and Ginger come ahead. Stand in the gap, folks. Keep standing. I know it looks dark and it looks dreary sometimes, but hey, God's in control. He's looking. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap.